morning, and greetings in Christ's name. I'm glad for the presence of each one again this morning. Invite your attention again to Ephesians chapter 6. Place our thing here that we have. We've been talking about for the last while. All right. We've been going through the series of the pieces of the armor. For those of you who have maybe not been here for any of these any of these messages, we've been going through the series of the pieces of the armor here. We have looked at our loins girt about with truth. We've talked about the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And this morning I would like to look, kind of bring all this together, look specifically at verse 18, where it talks about prayer. Now, prayer is not mentioned here, may not necessarily be referred to as a piece of that armor, but I would like to put it this way, the way I see it as I have studied this thought of prayer. I believe prayer is something that just, I don't know, encompasses the whole thing, the whole Christian armor that we have. I believe it is very much a part of it. The title for the message this morning is simply the protection of prayer. Again, it is something that I believe just encompasses everything that we have looked at. I'd like to look at it in that way. So, okay, you can turn with me. I guess I've said that already. You're there in Ephesians 6. Let's read, again, verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Again, Paul starts out with, finally, my brethren, remember where your strength comes from. He is making this appeal, my brethren. Again, we've talked about this. As a group of believers, it is the theme throughout the book of Ephesians, the unity of the people of God. We've talked a little bit about this, I believe, probably at the beginning of each one of these messages. The unity of the people of God, what they are to experience. In chapter 1, verse 10, he talks about, well, it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Then in chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." And and the verses following speak to that effect of the thing of being reconciled unto God in one body. He talks about the building fitly framed together. In chapter 4, he talks about the followers of Christ as a body, where we each find our place. We function together. We are to be united. And so as a group, we are to find our strength in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our true strength as a body is not dependent on, well, on maybe how long we have been a part of the church. It's not dependent on that. It's not dependent on our strength as a body here is not dependent on numbers. How many people are listed, the number of people listed on the roster. That's not what it's dependent on. But our true strength is in direct proportion to how we see our neediness of a dependency on God. I believe that to be very real. As we think of this armor, as we think of of bringing prayer into this, our dependency on God, to reach out to God, to call on him, to communicate with him, that is where our true strength is in direct proportion to that. That, finally, is where our true spiritual strength comes from. And so, as a body, as a group, yes, we are called to put on the whole armor of God, the armor of God that enables us and equips us. It is the complete weaponry, if you please, needed to go into combat. Putting on the armor is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, if you look at the different pieces of armor, the armor of truth, the armor of peace, righteousness, Jesus is truth. Jesus is righteousness. Christ is the one we place our faith in. We talked about faith. Christ is our salvation. Christ is the Word of God. And so when we put on the whole armor of God, it is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. The armor of God fits poorly on an arrogant person. I believe we know that. We recognize that. The armor of God fits poorly. Poorly on an arrogant person, but the armor of God fits well. It's very well fitted on a man who sees his neediness and dependency on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's just what I'd like to, I guess, impress upon our minds this morning as we think of this subject of prayer. Again, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer. I invite you to go with me now to the book of Jude. As Christians, I wonder if we don't often approach this subject of prayer. Yes, we know it's important. In fact, if I would ask you to talk about prayer, or if I would ask you to raise your hand if prayer was important to you in your Christian life, I'm certain that you would raise your hand high, that it is important. But I wonder sometimes if we understand how important it really is. Do we really understand how vital it is to our protection and our well-being as children of God? I don't know. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself here, but I find myself failing all too often in a deliberate life of prayer. It's easy to pray short prayers, and you know, it's easy to pray at meal times. It's easy to pray prayers when we're in desperate need of something. It's very easy to pray then. Most certainly, we do need to pray at those times. With times like we're facing right now with the Haiti situation, it is fitting. And I believe God wants us to spend time in prayer and fasting. God wants us to cry out to Him. But what happens on our daily, what happens on a daily basis in your life and my life? Do you find yourself wanting to wrestle, wanting to cry out, to wanting to praise, to spend time speaking, talking to God your Father on a daily basis for a long period of time? This morning I have two questions for us to consider. Number one, would you consider yourself to be a person who is devoted to prayer? Think about that. Would you consider yourself to be a person who is devoted to prayer? In other words, what I'm asking is, would your wife, your husband, your family, your associates, whoever, would they say that you have a life of prayer? Would they say that you live a life immersed in prayer? And I don't know. You know, maybe our humanity immediately kicks in and says, I can't always be praying. Well, that's not what I'm asking. I am asking, how long do you spend time praying? Would you consider yourself to be a person who is devoted to prayer? The second question, would you say that Pine Grove, our congregation here, is devoted to prayer? Would you say that? Are we a church that is immersed in prayer and quickly goes to prayer in any given situation? Are we prone to say, stop, let's pray about that situation? We have a situation before us. Let's pray about it. Or would it be otherwise? This morning I'm asking myself, first of all, to take a deeper look at who I am as a Christian man or a Christian lady sitting here this morning. Do I gravitate readily towards prayer? Maybe you are here this morning and prayer has become difficult. Maybe it's become a chore for you. You have it each day. You pray your prayer. You do your duty. But it's just that. There's not a lot of relationship in your prayer. Maybe it boils down to a quick, please help me today, be with me, and a few other things, and then off we go to work. I don't know. Or maybe you're here this morning and prayer has become dull because you are discouraged. Maybe you have experienced some disappointments in your life. You still pray, but it's difficult. Maybe you have given up praying altogether. Maybe you just don't pray at all, and you silently inside say, there's no use. There's no use in praying. What's the use? It doesn't matter. Nothing changes. You've become despondent and lack in faith. Maybe that's where you find yourself. Then again, maybe you're here this morning and you're vibrant in prayer life. You're excited about your relationship with God. You're in tune and you're a person that persists in prayer. It's easy for you to go to prayer. You love spending time in prayer. If you are that kind of a person, I say praise the Lord. We need that kind of people. I want to be that kind of person. And hopefully as we read some passages and as we go through this, we will get a better picture of the importance of a prayer life, of a life of prayer, put it that way. I'm not calling it a prayer life. I believe there is a difference between prayer life and a life of prayer. So that's my burden and focus this morning. So if you're in the book of Jude, let's read now. verses 17 through 21. Jude 17 through 21. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but ye. This is the verse that you can highlight and underline. This is my point here out of this passage. Beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This morning, how do you build yourself up in the faith? How do you keep yourself in the love of God? It is by praying in the Holy Ghost. That is how you do it. Doing a little background here with Jude. If you go to the first part of the book of Jude, you find similar words. Verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. And then you go right to the end of the chapter, and he virtually says the same thing. Verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What Jude is doing here, he starts out, I started out writing this letter to encourage you in your Christian faith or in our common salvation. Then he says, I felt like I needed to say something to you about the fact that our faith is being attacked by false teachers. And there's all sorts of falsehoods out there. And with all of that in mind, with all of that present, we need to contend for the faith. That's what he's saying. And then he ends his letter with saying, this is how you contend for the faith, by praying. There is a direct connection between your life of faith and your life of prayer. Turn now to Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. Remember, I said now that there is a direct connection between your faith, what you say you have in Christ Jesus, your life of faith, and your life of prayer. You cannot have one without the other. We will see that. Jesus is talking here in Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. Well, this is why he said the parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now, listen to what Jesus says. Verse 6, and the Lord said, Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God, using my own words here, Jesus turns to the people and says, did you just hear what I said about this judge? He doesn't care about anybody. In fact, he doesn't care about God. That widow was nothing to him. She meant nothing to him. But because she persisted in coming to him, he wearied of her and he said, okay, I will take care of it. Leave me alone. I will take care of it. And Jesus turned to the crowd or whoever he was talking to and said this, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God, he turns it and it becomes a spiritual thing, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them, I tell you, that he will avenge them speedily. And then he says something. Nevertheless, even though God will be a merciful and just God to you and me, his children, nevertheless, that's Nevertheless, even though God will be a merciful and just God to you and me, his children, he says he will avenge you. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, when I come back, shall he find faith on the earth? Why would he say that? Well, the widow persisted in perhaps a humanistic kind of way. She had faith that at some point this judge will hear her. Again, I say, there is a direct connection between faith and prayer. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not faint. And then he asked the question, when I come back, will there be any faith found on the earth? The connection, I believe, is that a life of prayer is the language of faith. You know, I can stand up here and say that that I have faith. And I feel like I do. But how much is if my prayer life is inadequate and meager at best, it's like having no oxygen. I can't breathe. And I wonder sometimes how blue I look as a Christian. No oxygen. How blue and oxygen starved do I look to God, gasping spiritually for breath. My faith is weak. I don't believe. I find it hard to pray. What about you? What about us? Where do we find ourselves in this morning? We breathe out prayer, and we breathe out our prayers. God breathes back into us his grace and his mercies. As we pray to God, as we breathe those things out, the breath of God comes back onto us, and he breathes into us life. He breathes into us mercy and grace, his power to live the Christian life that we say we have. Well, Jude connects it here. Jesus connected it. Prayer and faith together. Again, back to our verse in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There we have nearly the same words that Jude used. Pray in the Spirit. Contend for your faith. You can't have faith and not a prayer life. It is your breath of life. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer is the means by which we get the power to live our life of faith, and the means by which we remain faithful. Prayer is the exercise. Again, I said this before about the language of faith. Prayer is the exercise and language of faith. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Read out of Luke 18, but in chapter 21, verse 34 through 36, it says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy." Take note of what it says here. "Pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things." See where this thought of protection comes from? "Worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Very similar words to what Jesus said when he asked, "When I come back, will there be faith?" This morning, we must pray so that there will be faith when Jesus returns. The writer here in Luke also says, and I just referred to that, but he also says that we need to always pray that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. So this morning, I would just say to all of us, when we allow ourselves to slide into prayerlessness, when my life becomes a prayerless life, there is restriction. I am restricting my faith. I'm restricting that life within me, that oxygen, the supernatural power, that grace that God wants to pour into my life of faith. It's stunted because of being oxygen starved, because the oxygen is cut off by me not praying. So let's breathe. Let's take a deep breath. Don't forget to breathe. Breathe deeply, long and hard. Pray. Life of prayer. I've wondered already what kind of power God would unleash in my life and your life if we would spend several hours a day in prayer. We probably all heard examples of saints who spent hours in prayer before they ever started the day. And maybe you do that. But I have never spent 4 hours straight and just praying. Bless your heart if you've done that. But I have not. I possibly have spent 45 minutes, maybe an hour, but never 4 hours or 5 or 6 hours praying, wrestling with this, wrestling with God, coming to the throne of grace. And I wonder what would happen in our lives, in our families' lives. I wonder what would happen here at Pine Grove if we would catch a vision, more of a vision, for a life of prayer. You read stories, again, of individuals who have done that. I thought of some stories of mothers who prayed long and hard for their children and the difference that made in individuals' lives. Do we pray like that today? And I admit and understand that it's not just prayer that affects the way our families turn out, but I believe that prayer does make a difference. Fathers, I believe that we need to be on our knees fighting the battle for our children. We need to be on our knees praying for our wives, lifting them to the throne of grace. Mothers, you need to do the same thing. Pray for your children. Intercede on their behalf. Pray for your husbands. Pray for us that we can lead and that we would do it well, that we would mind the Holy Spirit. We need to have people. We need to be people who embrace a life of prayer. I believe that we would see dramatic changes. I think that's okay to say that. I think as we do that, things happen. Things take place. The Lord can work on a personal level, family level, whatever it is. Maybe even on a community level. But it's hard work. I know that. We come up with all kinds of excuses. You know, the guys are out on the job. My employees are out working. I got up a little late, so I can't spend much time praying. I know what that's like. The temptation is there to cut it short. What about you? Where do we find ourselves? Prayer is the breath of life. Again, your faith depends on it. Jesus was concerned that our faith remained. He said the way it remained is through our prayer life. There's a second way to look at this thing, and it's a sobering way to look at it. It's probably basically saying the same thing, but it's from a different angle. Maybe it's the other side of the coin for me. It was pretty sobering when I realized this, but a prayerless life is an indication of a lack of faith. Now, I know it's, in a lot of ways, it's saying already what we talked about, but it's a little bit of a different angle here as I pondered this. A prayerless life is an indication of a lack of faith. And this morning, if you find yourself not praying much regularly, then is it fair to say that you don't really have faith? Is it fair to say that? I believe it is, because prayer takes faith. You have to believe that God is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I can sit here, I can stand here and intellectually say that I believe, but unless my actions through prayer prove me to be correct, there is no faith. Without prayer, there is no faith. You cannot disconnect them. They are connected. Hebrews 11, verse 6. A familiar verse in the faith chapter, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this morning, what breaks down our faith? What are the things that cause us to lose focus in prayer life? What are the fears? What are the sinful habits? What causes the doubting? I believe we do well to ponder that in our own lives. What is it that affects us, that affects our life of prayer? Is it unresolved anger? Is it hurt? Are you hanging on to some hurt that took place in your life? And I'm asking myself, first of all, and I'm asking all of us to take inventory. What are the things? Evaluate. What are the things that we're tempted with in life that make it hard to pray? Well, bringing this to a close, how do we persevere in prayer? How do we do that? I can talk long and hard about, you know, the need to pray and spend time in prayer, and I know the reality of it is, you know, there are things, but and I don't have all the answer to this, but how do we do this? How do we persevere in prayer? The need for a purposeful life of prayer is so needed. Why is that? Well, here is why. You and I live in an age of much noise, so much noise around us. There is so much, I don't even have to say this, but there is so much clamoring for our attention. Here are some practical things. How much time do we spend talking on the phone? Something that may be necessary. I know it is. How much time are we on the computer? Texting, checking out the WhatsApp statuses. I'm just trying to make it practical here. Think about these are things that I face. Listening to this, watching to that. How much of that time could I use praying? You know what? For myself, I'm afraid I'd have to say that I could spend a lot more time in praying than what I am. I think I could. Again, you and I live in an age of much noise. There's so much clamoring for our attention, so much out there that's trying to draw our attention away from God, draw our attention away from, well, spending time with Him, communicating with Him. We need to purpose to pray. You and I need to purpose to reject the things that drain our life of faith, that keep us from praying. I say these things to myself first of all. I need these things. God has put prayer in place so that we can receive from Him the supernatural help we need to live this life that we say we have in Him. And so, how can we focus? There are three things that I would like to present to you. Three things on how we can focus better on our life of prayer. Things I want us to consider. Number one, I want you to consider meditating more on God's Word. What do I mean by that? It doesn't always have to be reading more Scripture, but meditating more on God's Word. Take time to reflect on it. Reflect on God's Word. Allow it to speak to you. One thing that I've found very helpful when I'm reading the Word is to ask God, God, what do you want me? What do you want me to get out of this passage that I'm reading this morning? What is in this for me? What do you want me to hear from this? I believe that allows God to speak to us through His Holy Spirit, and it makes us more ready to receive it. John chapter 15, verse 7. We won't turn to that. I have it written down here. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If my words abide, or if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. How do we abide in him? How do we abide in God? By his word. We have his word. That's how we learn how to abide in him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans says. And so the key is to believe that the Bible is written for me, and I will meditate on it. The second thing that I believe will help us focus on this life of prayer and is needful for us to be men and women of Christ is persevere in prayer. I mentioned this a little bit already, but when we persevere in prayer, it helps to see us as we ought. As you determine to persevere in prayer, when you do that intentionally, you begin to see yourself as God sees you. It helps us to see that we are indeed sons and daughters of God. God does love me. When we intentionally focus on praying, we begin to see those things as we should. C.S. Lewis said this, "If you are a proud person, you will never be able to see God, because a proud person looking down on everyone cannot see something that is above him, something that is bigger than himself. And from that image, I get that it is in God's image that I learn humility. I really don't know how sinful I am unless I'm in the presence of a holy God. You come into the presence of a holy God through prayer." That is how we come into his presence. As we intentionally pray and continually pray, spend quality time praying, we begin to see ourselves as God sees us. The third thing on how we can focus better on prayer: when I am praying, I need to remember that I am praying to my Heavenly Father. I'm praying to my Heavenly Father. It's not just some entity out there. He is my Heavenly Father. He is the one who wants to pour his grace and his mercy and his power into my life so that I can be effective for his kingdom, for his honor, and for his glory. He is my Father. I need to know that when I come to him in prayer. And when that happens, well, there's something that happens within us. When our hearts are united and bonded in prayer to our Father, we begin to experience that relationship with him. As we're bonded in prayer, as we communicate, we begin to experience a relationship that where there's a back and forth, there's that breathing out of grace and power upon us. He is our Father. He wants to have a relationship with us. He is a good Father. He knows how to give generously above all that we ask or think. My closing comments are this: pray. Pray alone. Pray alone in your closet. Weep before the Lord. Cry out to him. Praise him. Beg him, go to the mercy seat, pray together, come to church and pray together, intercede for each other, learn to love through your praying for each other. Pray that God would show you what he wants you to do with the rest of your life. What all would God bring about in your personal life, in your family's life, in your friend's life, in the youth group, in the church, in the community, in our relationships? If we would spend more time in prayer, if we would become men and women that have a vibrant, full, and overflowing life of prayer. Don't forget to breathe. Prayer is the breath of life for your life of faith. So I would just encourage all of us, for the sake of the bride of Christ, for the sake of our congregation here, the congregation that you are a part of, for the sake of the brethren and sisters beside you, let's pray. Develop a passion, a compassion for each other, a heart of prayer. Let's kneel together in prayer.